So, Alex, I want to talk about one of my favorite movies. It's not one of my favorite because it's a good movie or that I particularly love the movie, but I want to talk about The Room.
Okay.
You've probably heard about The Room.
I have heard about The Room.
Of course, don't want to confuse it with Room, which is a recent movie that actually is a very good movie that like won a bunch of Academy Awards.
Was that the book one?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know much about it. That's the one where like somebody's like trapped and like they're like kidnapped and they gotta like sneak the little girl out or something, so they roll him up in a rug. Might be a little boy.
I just know there's a book called The Room, I think.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're talking about The Room. So, Alex, you've never seen this movie. I have seen this movie.
You've seen, like, all movies.
I have seen a lot of movies.
He is a bit of a movie nut.
I like movies. They're fun times.
Can't blame you. They are good. Yeah. I have not seen a lot of classic movies.
Okay, so, The Room, a classic movie. Anyway, so, we're doing this thing. I'm showing you right now the cover of The Room.
Okay. I see
the
this
DVD. Cover. Course, I would have gotten on Blu-ray, but I couldn't.
The widescreen edition.
Yeah. So I want you to predict the entire plot of the movie. Then we're gonna go watch it and we're gonna talk about it. So you see the cover of this movie it's not particularly descriptive.
Not at all.
It's just Tommy Wiseau's face.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna describe this cover. There is the word The Room at the top. Which yes. has an effect on it that looks like they put it through Microsoft Word and just used the word art, the like really cheap word art does. That's like not good. And then there's a picture of this dude who has a bit long of hair and his eyes are weird. Like he's got one lazy eye.
Yeah, he does.
And he got a little like side smirk going on. Then there's the words in red. Can you really trust anyone? And then under it in white, in italics, which I feel is important. Experience this quirky new black comedy. It's a riot. It ends with an end quote, but it does not start with a starting quote.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that might be a hint.
About the quality of
this movie, yeah.
But when they say it's a black comedy, does that mean there are black actors in
it? No, that's not what black comedy
okay.
is. Black comedy is like something like Heather's or... It's a very, very
see,
dark
See, that's a musical,
comedy.
So I've seen it.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Heather's?
Is that also a musical?
No.
No, I have seen that. I actually haven't seen the musical.
Okay.
I have heard some of the music, though. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But no, I basically, because of his eye, which is probably a bad generalization to make, I feel that he's probably insane and has been locked into a room, and this is all going to be about this insane guy in a room.
Okay.
Just trying, like,
what's beginning,
living
middle, and
in
end,
his
though,
own you know? World. What?
What's beginning, middle, and end of this movie, though?
The beginning is you're in, like, his mind. Like,
you're
what
his
he
mind.
Is experiencing, which is not what, like... It's not his room.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you start to, it will change and you'll see him in this room. And then it'll go back to another fantasy of his. And it'll just keep, like, going back and forth. And eventually you'll just realize that the room is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's not really doing any of these other things.
Will he realize it or just
no.
the viewer?
He might slowly come to terms with,
so
like,
it's
he might
like,
slowly realize it,
it's
and then
be like
at
he's
the
gonna,
end, he'll, okay. like, freak out, like, oh my gosh, is this my life? What am I?
Is he going to end, like, looking at, like, a snow globe? Like, we're just going to zoom out and see him looking at a snow globe, and it's like, no, the whole world
it'll
we
be
just
some
saw.
Some reflective surface.
With,
yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go watch it.
Okay.
Okay, so we just finished watching the movie. The Room. This is my second time seeing it, and your first. So, what do you think?
I hated it.
Okay.
It was not good.
Okay.
In literally any sense. Like, sometimes I like to watch bad movies to, like, mock them and have a fun time.
Yeah.
No.
You didn't even have a fun time with that one?
I just got sick of it. I hated it.
Okay.
The biggest thing that bothered me was, like, the timing of the dialogue. Like, it'd just be like, hey, how's it going? Really good. And how are you? Fine.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, well, most of the dialogue, it seemed, was taped over after the fact.
Yeah, I could tell.
So, especially, I think...
coincided with the lips.
All of Tommy Wiseau's dialogue, I think, was. I think some of the other characters seemed a little more natural. But, like, the one scene, my favorite scene of the movie, of course, the scene where he goes to the flower shop to pick up some flowers for Lisa. And it's just, the dialogue is so fast, it doesn't make sense. He's just like, oh, how much does it cost? He's like, $4. And he's like, here it is, keep the change. Oh, hi, dog, pat, pat. And then he just leaves. And, it, like, it has no relevance to, like, the rest of the movie. It's just you had to know why he had flowers.
I swear, there was 5 empty vases in that scene. And there's got to be significance to that.
We'll talk about the significance later. You know what? Let's go through the plot. I took a lot of notes throughout the entire movie. Let's go through it, you know, scene by scene here.
I took sarcastic notes.
Yeah. Okay. So we start off very beginning of the movie. It's just like opening shots of like San Francisco that I assume Tommy Wiseau took himself, of just, you know, some establishing shots that, yes, this movie takes place in San Francisco. That is not at all significant to the entire movie.
And it was a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, hey, I like San Francisco. We're going to be a movie in San Francisco, even though I'm sure it's much more expensive to shoot there than like anywhere.
Literally, they could have this Golden Gate Bridge. We're done.
Yeah. I mean, well, also they film multiple landmarks that I'm sure are super, super expensive to film. Like, and then they just like, for no reason, like nothing happens at a landmark.
And then like the text, like directed by and the room was all white, boring font, probably gotten like just like a simple word font or something.
Yeah. It all said by Tommy Wiseau as well. I mean, it's like the super gloating thing of like,
seemed like a cartoon. It's like starring me, written by me, directed by me.
Yeah. So we finish off all these establishing shots and like, you know, showing the opening credits and then
sex scene.
Well, a little bit before the sex scene,
a little bit,
Johnny gets home, played by Tommy Wiseau, of course, the star. and he gets home to his girlfriend at this point, Lisa.
The bitch,
as they say. And then there's just this random boy that they're like friends with. It's not really sure. Like, he wanted to adopt this boy named Danny.
The creepy kid.
Yeah, the creepy kid. And then the creepy kid, like they decide they want to go upstairs because, like, Johnny just bought Lisa like this sexy dress and they want
silk gown.
Yeah, yeah. And then Danny, this little pervy boy, is all like,
can I watch?
Yeah, I like to watch you guys. And
which sounds like he's done it before.
Yeah.
Well, and they're totally fine with it.
Yeah. They're like, they're just like, but Danny,
right now right now is not good for us.
Yeah. They're like, no, not right now, because we have to have a crazy random sex scene.
Yeah,
it's drawn out
way too long.
Playing music that's just really like random.
The foreplay literally lasted for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then like the actual sex, which there's nudity. There's some Tiny Wiseau butt, and there's a lot of boob.
There's not that much butt. There's way more boob.
But like, there's not really a reason for it. And then the sex scene, like normally in a movie, it's like sex scene's got to be short. Get in and get out, leave a lot to the imagination. Mm-hmm. Here it's like they're still leaving, of course, most of it to the imagination, but they decided it needs to last like 3.5 minutes. It's like he seems to be having sex with her belly button.
Yeah.
This is a theme. Of course, there's more than one sex scene in the movie. People like having sex with belly buttons in this movie. Mm. Anyway, continue on. So after the sex scene, then randomly Johnny's gone. Lisa's mom is visiting her, and Lisa's just like, suddenly she just doesn't love Johnny anymore. Like, up to this point, she loves Johnny completely.
It was extremely fast.
Yeah. Just all of a sudden, you know, just done. So, so now Lisa, now that she's established that she no longer loves Johnny.
Mm-hmm. This is where I wrote, hate this bitch.
Yeah. She invites his best friend over.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, you should come over. And then they just start having sex.
First, awkward touches.
Oh, yeah.
She literally, like, caressed his neck, like, immediately when he walked in.
Oh, yeah, and the sex scene is, like, on a stairwell. It's, like, a spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there is a scene where, like, there's clearly a shot they're trying to be seductive with, like, her shin. And, like, the shin is not a sexy body part. I would say there are a lot of body parts you could pretend are sexy. Maybe, like, a shoulder. Shoulders aren't really all that sexy. They're just their shoulders. A shin is not a part that you can really sexualize, I would say.
I mean, you can try.
Yeah, I don't think they're too successful with that. So they have a sex scene.
And then she's immediately like, I can't live without you.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
I
yeah.
wrote stalker, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a theme in my
But Mark is Johnny's best friend here that
yes.
the cheating is done with. Mark is like, we shouldn't have done that. That's bad, you know. So right after that scene with them cheating, suddenly it just moves on to the flower shop scene that I just talked about a little bit ago.
Yep.
My favorite scene ever, and I love it. Possibly my favorite scene in any movie, really. It's like 45 seconds, basically.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know, right? But he just walks into this flower shop, he buys flowers and leaves. It doesn't need to be in the movie. We know he has flowers. He had flowers in the first sex scene, whenever he was just like pouring rose petals all over her.
This is also my favorite scene, but it was also just because there was a doggy.
Yeah, there was a little pug that was just sitting at the counter
yeah,
at the great. Flower shop. Yeah, that didn't really make much sense. So then after that, then the pervert boy, it goes back to the apartment with That's Lisa.
We have talked about
yeah.
the mother.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it goes back to the apartment. Lisa's alone in the apartment. And then the pervert boy, Danny, I'm going to call him the pervert boy.
Yeah.
He just is like asking for a kiss all of a sudden.
Yeah. I thought he was interested in the guy. I thought he liked Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it really seemed like it.
It did really seem like he was,
and then it was,
he
just
was into
like,
both of them.
Lisa.
Yeah, no, he wanted Lisa. So then Johnny gets home after, well, pervert boy is kind of shooed away because not,
he
no kiss.
He's shooed away so much.
He's shooed away throughout this entire movie. Johnny gets home. Johnny didn't get the promotion that he wanted, mm-hmm. Which like the mom earlier in the movie, Lisa's mom, was all like, you should stay with Johnny because Johnny is just like a great guy. He's getting a promotion soon. I don't know why she knew that yeah. he was getting a promotion soon, but apparently he's not getting that promotion.
And evidently they'd been together for like 6 years.
Yeah. Lisa recommends, let's fix this with alcohol.
Yeah.
Johnny doesn't drink. We know this much.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Johnny doesn't drink, but she's like, no, you're drinking. Don't worry. She comes out with some sort of alcohol and then just on top of that, just pours vodka on top of the alcohol.
Yeah,
she
it was
has.
Really weird. She poured something. I don't know that it was alcohol, but it's presumably,
yeah,
like,
presumably.
Some, like rum or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then she poured vodka on top of it, which rum and vodka does not seem like a good idea. And
I,
then also,
I don't know.
No, it really like, seems you don't really idea. Mix liquors with other liquors.
Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And like,
well, I mean,
why did they pour the one part yeah. of the drink and then wait to come out the, like, and show her pouring the other half?
Yeah. Well, clearly, like, she just wants to get him drunk right now.
Yeah. Very deliberately.
So, I mean, she does. She does
if
clearly.
If you love me, you'll drink this.
Yeah, yeah. That is a line that she says. So she, like, he gets super, super drunk. She seems completely sober somehow. I don't know. And then he, like, oh, there's a shot where, like, she is wearing his tie around her head because they have to show off that, like, hey, they're drinking. This is what drunk people do.
Yeah, it's like 90s.
Yeah, and then he throws a glass on the ground to celebrate
no
his excitement
reason.
Of being drunk.
Yeah.
He talks about how good it tastes, which, like, I don't think that's going to be true. He doesn't
drink.
He
doesn't drink, yeah.
He doesn't drink. He's not going to think that tastes good.
And then she's also like, make love to me. And I'm like, calm down, girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. She's,
and then he's like, I don't really feel it right now.
Yeah,
and she's just like, do it.
For someone who's not into him, like she said before, she didn't love him anymore or anything. Like, she's really into him.
Yeah.
It seems like, yeah.
And I can't tell if it's bad acting. Or, like, she genuinely seems like she's still into him.
I think it's bad writing.
I think it's,
like, yeah.
I think it's a combination of three things.
Yeah.
Bad writing, bad acting, and just you don't know.
Yeah.
Because so, she seems like she should not be into him, but she totally seems to be.
Yeah. Okay, so they just got drunk. And now they go for the third sex scene in the movie. So it's like maybe 12 minutes into the movie, we're already on our third sex scene. Also, this sex scene reuses clips from the very first sex scene.
And it's at this point where I realize that literally every single person in this movie could be a serial killer extremely easily.
Yeah, yeah. The
and
way
the
they
lighting
talk is,
supports
something.
That theory.
Yeah, yeah. The lighting is really off. Like, everybody is one side lit. The other side is a shadow.
Oh my gosh, there's this one with the psychologist, like the random
yeah,
psychologist.
Later, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Later we'll get to that. Don't worry. Okay, so now that they've had sex, they always, okay. after the sex scene, it's like, you know, time to talk to my mom now.
Yeah.
So Lisa starts talking to her mom. This is presumably a day later, maybe. So conversation with her mom. Again, reiterating that she no longer loves Johnny. Then her mom's like, but I'm dying. And then Lisa's like, no, you're not dying.
Well, I just got the test results,
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah, her mom just casually drops that she has breast cancer. This doesn't come up the rest of the movie.
No, never. This you just, don't know what happened. She presumably dies.
Yeah, well, we see her like later in the movie, and she seems fine.
Yeah, there's no signs of any treatment.
No one. She still has like her hair the whole time. I don't know. This is 2003. I don't know what cancer treatment was then.
I don't either, but presumably not as good as now.
Yeah, I mean, it was only 13 years ago. I think there's still some chemotherapy and everything. Anyway, so that's kind of off track. But the movie made it off track by just suddenly dropping that she has cancer. So then Lisa lies to her mom and says that last night Johnny got drunk and hit her.
Yeah.
Which he did get drunk because she made him get drunk. No hitting happens as far as we know, unless there's some sort of slappy stuff going on with that sex that we saw with all the Tommy Wiseau butt going on.
But presumably it doesn't, because Johnny said that he never did.
Yeah.
Adamantly.
Yeah. So then now, suddenly back in that room, just a new couple shows up that we've never seen the rest of the movie. So it's, I think, teenage group, because they say school. I mean, all
teenage
these ages
are young.
Wrong.
The ages are kind of difficult.
They say homework.
Yes.
So, like, they're
presumably they're college students.
Yeah.
But the great thing about that is the mother catches them.
Yeah.
And they run out. But she said, "What are these characters doing here?" And I was just like, same mother lady.
Yeah, the mother.
I have no idea what they're doing.
The mother
here,
seems very
never
logical
seen them before.
Throughout most of the movie. It's like, yeah, why are you here? Random couple that just happens to be hanging around in this apartment. Now the mom and Lisa are back at the apartment after walking in on these teens having sex. Pervy Dan comes back. And he just, for some reason, asks for the ingredients to make a cake.
Dirty Dan.
Dirty Dan, yeah.
You don't know it's a cake.
We don't know.
It's flour, sugar, and
butter. A stick of butter.
Yeah, it could be many things.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't ask for an egg or anything. Maybe he uses a banana instead of an egg. I don't know, you know? He's one of those cool, trendy, healthy people. And the mom's just like, why don't you have your own kitchen, little boy? Get out of here.
The mom is super mean.
Yeah, but she's like, she's kind of reasonable.
She's the most relatable character.
Okay. Oh, and then, so then after Danny is shooed away, Lisa rushes them to defend the fact that her and Johnny are like bringing up Danny and starts talking about how Johnny is so caring. And it's like, you just talked about how you don't like Johnny.
And that he hit you.
And why is he so caring? She specifically says he cares so much about the people in his life. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really make much sense for a character. I don't want to, you know, maybe shouldn't spend too much time on that just because, like, most of these characters don't really make sense. Okay, so now, all of a sudden, it cuts to Danny is now on the rooftop. How we got to the rooftop, I don't know.
This scene.
Then, just this thug, like this cartoon thug, comes up on the rooftop.
And the shot of this random person that you don't know who is yet because you haven't seen. Mm-hmm. It's just the shot of Danny between this guy's two legs. That's all you see. And you're like, he's dying.
Yeah, you think he's dying. So the thug walks up. It's like cliche of like, where's my money? And then points a gun at him.
Randomly, from nowhere, pulls out a gun.
We see that gun later in the movie.
Yeah.
Because they only had one gun, you know, foreshadowing later. So then randomly, it just so happens that everyone comes to the rooftop.
Everyone,
four
plot
characters.
Relevant. All of the plot relevant people.
So we got Johnny and Mark come up and just carry away the thug.
And the mom and Lisa start like making sure the little boy's okay, and the mom is just like, "You're a terrible person. Why is he here? He's selling drugs. He's taking drugs. He never said he was taking drugs."
Yeah, and then Lisa's like, "He could have killed you." And then and then Danny's just like, "It's okay. He's going to jail." Like, what? Why did
How do you know that?
Yeah, why do things happen so fast like this? And then, you know, of course, randomly, Johnny and Mark are just back. like they just show up immediately. Like, who was taking care of this thug that they just carried away? Like
the thug, did they find a police officer?
So then this plot point is basically abandoned.
Yeah.
Then
you never hear about
him ever, like, dealing drugs or anything again. It's just like established then from now on that like, nope, no more drugs for that boy.
Yeah, just like the breast cancer.
He's cured. Yeah, just like the breast cancer. It's gone.
They just like to drop these huge twists and then like, oh, it's
nope, gone. Nope, gone. Okay, so now suddenly, it's presumably the next day, I guess, because now Mark and Lisa are far away from each other. And Lisa calls up Mark and there's a nice steamy sex scene. Not sex scene, I mean, there's a nice like steamy like phone call thing where she's trying to seduce him.
Yeah.
But like,
she's definitely the instigator in every context.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's not that, he doesn't seem that interested, but he's like, yeah, I'll do you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mark is pretty passive, it seems, in most of this movie.
Yeah.
Other than like just the random sex scene at the beginning. I mean, later he gets a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, but, towards the end he's like, yeah, I'll have a sex.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. So then now we're back on the rooftop, and Johnny is talking with Mark about cheating for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, and then Johnny just drops this big bomb. He's like, you know what, Mark, you should have a girl. And then he's like, maybe I already do.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that mean? And it's like, these conversations happen throughout the movie where Mark and Johnny are talking to each other, and like, clearly Mark is like, man, I am banging your girlfriend.
Yeah, he keeps dropping these like extremely large hints.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then why? If you want to get away with this, why would you do this?
Yeah. So then Mark just leaves the rooftop, and then Danny shows up because everybody just knows to show up at the rooftop whenever they're needed.
And this rooftop was never like a thing until the thug. And
yeah.
Like there was only like two settings. Mm-hmm. In the entire movie, and then they're like, okay, now there's a roof.
Well, actually, this is an important little movie fact for everybody here. So Tommy Wiseau, of course, the producer, director, lead star, writer, he did everything for this movie. He also funded the movie.
Except casting.
Yeah, he didn't do casting. Someone else casted, thank God, I guess. He would just cast himself for every character.
Yeah, but also, they could have done better.
They probably could have done better. So he ran out of money. Because whenever you normally do a movie, you rent the cameras because then like you don't need a camera forever. You don't buy a camera. It wouldn't make sense for you to buy a camera anyway, because like say in 5 years when you make another movie, like there's a better camera. He bought all the cameras. I think he only bought one camera, but it was extremely expensive because it's, you know, for film. And, that's where all the money went. So he only had a few sets. Like the rooftop is like just a ground and a green screen, basically.
A word on their camera angles, too. Every time someone spoke, they changed the camera angle to them.
Yeah.
So there was just like this constant, predictable camera angle change, and it was always the same angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was extremely annoying.
Yeah, it's not good. So basically, this is why there's so many. I mean, this is why there are so few scenes in the movie, or few settings,
yes.
I would say. Is because they just couldn't afford it. Even though for some reason they could afford like all this footage of like the landmarks around San Francisco.
Extremely that they didn't bad need. Green screen too.
They didn't need. And a terrible green screen. They do a lot of close-ups in the green screen too, where they do close-ups to people's faces, where you can clearly see that behind them there's a green screen. It's a little weirdly blurry around them.
Also on that roof, there is a stairway to get down, and they use it every time, and they always show them completely going to the door, opening the door, and walking down the entire staircase.
Yeah.
And you can tell that there's a bit of a turn to the left, which is where the roof ends.
Yeah, yeah. There's it's like a little portal there, because clearly they covered that with the green screen.
Now you're thinking with portals.
Uh-huh. Oh, anyway, where are we? Okay, so let's go back to the scene on the roof. So now Mark leaves. Danny's up there. Now Danny and Johnny start talking on the roof. And Danny just reveals that he is in love with Lisa. Just totally in love with Lisa. And then Johnny, of course, reaction to this is like, yeah, that's totally fine. Because she also loves you as a friend.
Yeah.
As a human being.
Yeah, she loves you as a friend.
Exact words.
And
then.
Also, like, I love you as a friend.
Yeah.
We're all friends. Everyone should love everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, if a lot of people love each other, the world will be better.
Which in his voice was just stupendous.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then there's revealed at the end of the scene. Like, he puts his arm around him. He's like, yeah, it's okay that I want to adopt you and you, like, love my girlfriend. Because she loves you as a friend or as a son, you know? And he's like, And then Danny's just like, thanks for paying my tuition.
Yeah. I really thought Danny might have just been projecting at that scene because it just seems so out there. Like, the only thing that he ever did was, like, ask Lisa for a kiss, which I thought actually was kind of innocent.
I don't know. Well, he was pervy before then.
It seemed pervy, so, yeah. Like, but it just seemed kind of weird, but it seemed more innocent than, I am in love with her.
Yeah, yeah. This was him, like, really outright saying that he's in love. Johnny, of course... Don't know why he reacted as he did. He's just like, yeah, it's okay. I love everybody. Just like, this isn't what we're talking about, man.
Also, every time that Danny came in and didn't see Johnny, he asked Lisa to say hi to Johnny for him. But every time that he saw Johnny, he never asked to say hi to Lisa.
Dang. That's a detail. I wasn't looking that closely at the movie
I'm
here.
I'm always into finding gay romance.
Oh. Okay. So Johnny pays Danny's tuition. This is what we know, which is like, if Johnny pays Danny's tuition, why does Danny have to deal drugs?
It's never explained.
Never explained. Abandoned completely.
He has some debts.
Yeah.
From what?
I don't know.
He doesn't pay for his own rent.
He could have just asked Johnny for the money. Also, clearly there should be like some sort of mob of drug dealers after them the rest of this movie.
He obviously doesn't buy groceries.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to abandon this because the movie does. So now next scene, again, just jump cut, non sequitur, to Lisa is now talking to her friend, which I don't think we've met this friend up to this point.
I can't tell if that friend is the same person as the sex scene person.
I don't think it is because I think this friend has like a different boyfriend later in the movie, and I don't think there's...
I don't know. There's also that randomly unexplained guy who you don't know who
is. Oh, yeah, of course.
There's a lot of just randomly unexplained characters. Yeah.
Okay, so Lisa's talking to her friend, and she just outright tells... her friend that she's cheating because Johnny hit her, which Johnny didn't hit her, of course. Nope. We know this, the line. Anyway, so her friend calls her selfish because she's pretty selfish.
Yeah, she's true. She's correct.
She's pretty selfish. And then she's like, we'll just have to keep this a secret. Of course, Johnny overheard that last part and he walks in. He's like, what's the secret? And Lisa is suddenly very like, confrontational. She's like that.
Oh, not Lisa. Sorry. Yeah. Her friends is like, I'm going to leave now.
Her friend's like, I'm going to leave now. Good choice, friend. And then Lisa is just like suddenly very like aggressive towards Johnny. We haven't seen this the rest of the movie. She's been very quiet when she's with him and then just like, well, actually very loving when she's with him.
Yeah, extremely loving. This entire time, I keep thinking someone's going to murder someone.
Yeah.
And right here, I thought she was going to kill him.
Yeah. Lisa says, women change their mind all the time.
Sexist.
Yeah. And then this is also where, the hardcore part of their fighting, where Lisa goes upstairs and Johnny is presumably left to sleep on the couch. And Johnny says, I think, the star line of the movie, you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
It's so good. He's just, that's Tommy Wiseau. He's so good at delivery, really.
He doesn't understand women at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is constantly apparent.
Yeah. Okay. So Johnny is now suddenly in some sort of like alleyway hanging with the horny teen guy that we saw from earlier who was having that sex scene with, you know, the random teen couple that showed up in their apartment.
Yep.
So he's with this horny teen dude. And then the guy retells the story of what happened earlier with the whole like leaving his underwear and then Lisa's mom finding his underwear. It, like, you know, that whole shenanigans that we had referenced. And then suddenly just Mark and Danny show up as well and Danny they just first. Start playing catch with the football.
Yep. They play catch a lot.
Yeah, this is what Tommy Wiseau thinks like men do when they're together hanging out.
And then the thing is, Danny came first, they started playing catch, and everything was fine. Then Mark came, they played catch with Mark for 4 seconds, and then the guy who lost his underwear got injured immediately.
Yeah. Like, randomly, Mark just jumps on him for some reason. Like, I don't really know why. It's just like they're playing, like, oh, boys will be boys playing rough.
Like, it's homosexual love.
Yeah, that's what it was, that scene. Of course, I don't think that guy shows up the rest of the movie. Oh, no, he's in the party at the end.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
I thought maybe that the randomly unexplained dude was him recast halfway through.
Okay. So anyway, so that scene's just done. So now Lisa is once again hanging out with her mom, who may or may not have breast cancer. We don't know. And she's telling her mom about how she cheated. But then, like, whenever her mom asks, but wait, who are you cheating with? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. And then her mom's like, then why are you talking to me about it right now? And that's what I think the audience is asking.
I'm going to be perfectly vague because someone's probably listening in on this.
Yeah,
and now they
because Johnny know. Johnny is listening in on this.
Yes.
So now he
fortuitously,
knows.
Fortuitously, she was being a bit coy.
Yeah. So now Johnny knows, like, that Lisa is cheating. And Johnny's like, I'm going to record them. Mm-hmm. So he puts a recording device on, like, the phone. I don't know how he manages to do this, but we watch him for, like, 3 minutes.
And then you don't hear about it. For the longest time.
Yeah.
And you just expect something to have happened.
We don't know.
It, and you think that nothing will ever again.
We don't know how much time has passed for the rest of the movie. But just apparently every other phone call they ever do is not recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he has the recording set up. And he only puts one tape in it. But that one tape records everything. So don't worry about it. Okay. So now Johnny is sitting down with his friend who's a psychologist.
Randomly unexplained friend that's a psychologist.
Yeah.
He works at a bank.
Yeah.
Did he meet this guy?
Why does he have a psychologist friend?
And the lighting in this is stupendous.
Yeah, because it's really, really dark.
It's really dark. You can't see, like, anything except the random psychologist's face is in a beam of light.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah.
you would do for a serial killer right as they're about to kill someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so every little line that the guy says is extremely dramatic.
Yeah, yeah. So Johnny is now telling the psychologist friend, Peter is his name, about Lisa.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny's telling Peter about how Lisa is probably cheating and he's not sure what's going on and it's a really, really bad situation and he's like, you know, stuck on the couch. Then Mark shows up because they're, you know, they're all friends. And Mark just starts talking about how he's seeing a married woman, which is, you know, suspect, which doesn't actually, like, it's not, it like, Lisa isn't married. Lisa is engaged.
Yeah, it's not true.
Not married. But, like, you know, he's really pushing for, like, he's like, hey, I'm doing it with your lady. You know she's cheating. I'm doing it with a married lady. Come on. But, of course, he didn't, you know, doesn't put one and one together or two and two together, you know, numbers. And then there's just, like, Johnny leaves. Johnny's like, I'm going to go make some food for you guys. And then Lisa walks in with Danny. And there's just, like, this really awkward confrontation between Lisa and Mark where they're like, let's be seductive at each other, but also Danny's watching right now, and Danny, like, loves that Lisa and Johnny are together, and it's, like, a really weird, complicated love thing, but, like, it's not really, like, the way I'm describing it right now, you think it's, like, a very, very dramatic scene that's, like, really conveying a lot, but really no one knows what to do in this scene. Nobody knows what Tommy Wiseau was imagining the scene to be.
Yeah, there's constantly scenes that just happen, and then they end, and you're just like, why did that happen?
Yeah, there's definitely, like, Tommy Wiseau had a plan for this. We don't know what it was, but...
maybe he didn't there was, after yeah, there was he something. Wrote it.
So after that awkward meeting, suddenly we're on the rooftop, and it's Mark alone, and he's smoking pot.
Which I didn't notice. I thought that was a toothpick.
No, he's smoking pot.
Yep, definitely.
And then Peter shows up. Because
the new best character
everywhere that we just met, and Peter's like, oh hey, what you're okay, you're smoking pot, and then Mark's like, hey, do you want some? He's like, Peter's like, nah, I don't touch that.
It's gonna mess with your brain.
Yeah, it's gonna mess with your brain, and he's a psychologist, so he's the expert on brains. Mm-hmm. And Mark just casually drops that he feels like killing himself, which I mean, this movie has a very casual, I think, attitude towards suicide, which is a bad thing.
It is a, quote, dark comedy, unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
That isn't funny.
It is not funny. And then Peter, of course, the only smart one, he puts two and two together.
Finally.
That, like, hey, you're sleeping with Lisa, aren't you? Which, yes, Mark is sleeping with Lisa.
But in hindsight, he really shouldn't have been able to figure that out.
Well, he figured it out because of the awkward confrontation, because he watched that just happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how suddenly Mark had pot and they're suddenly on the rooftop, but he did just watch that happen at some point in the past. And then Mark gets violent about it. Mark's like, whoa, how dare you?
He threatens to throw him off the roof.
Yeah, he does threaten to throw him off the roof.
Not well.
Immediately apologizes, and then they're just best friends again. And then...
Yeah, he's totally fine with it. Oh, you tried to kill me? That's fine.
And then after that, they're all apologizing. And then Mark's just like, man, it's all Lisa's fault. So, you know...
Oh, the women.
It is Lisa's fault all the time. Okay, now suddenly we're cutting forward and Everybody's just wearing a tux.
Yeah. And no then, reason given.
Yeah. Mark walks in. Also wearing the same tux as everyone else.
And then they do this like huge zoom on him because he's the attractive one.
Yeah. And they're like, whoa, you look so good in the tux. And it's like, well, he looks exactly the same as he has the entire movie. It's just now he's wearing the same clothes that everyone else is also wearing.
And then the creepy kid, he's just like, let's play football.
Yeah, yeah. They just
And everybody's like, let's not do that. And everybody's like, let's do that, except the psychologist who's like, let's not do that. Yeah. And then they eventually get him to do that. But we still don't know why they're in tuxes.
Yeah, we it's never explained why they're in tuxes. I thought, like, the only reason I could think that they would all be in tuxes is if it's, like, a rehearsal dinner, like, before the wedding.
I thought they were getting married then.
Yeah, but then after that scene, there is not a wedding in the immediate next day, which is rehearsal dinners, they're normally the day before.
Or at least the same week.
Yeah, or at least the same week. Because, you know, you get all the relatives together. You want to, like, you don't want to make it inconvenient for them and have to do it, like, over months. So they just have this scene where they're all in tuxes. I guess it's just to try on their tuxes. But then they play football together because, again, you know, that's what boys do when they're together. And then Peter falls on the ground and, like, presumably kind of ruins his tux.
But they never show that.
They never show that, of course. Peter was right. They shouldn't have played football. And definitely Peter should not have played football because he was not up for it because he's just a psychologist. He's not a football player.
Those academics, they can't.
Those academics can't play sports. Yes, exactly. Still don't really know why they're all wearing tuxes. I think it's just because they were trying on the tuxes. But anyway, suddenly it's the next day, next week. I don't know how time doesn't work in this movie correctly.
I can't accept that theory. What? Because Mark came to their house. And that's not that big of a deal because he lives in the same building.
He does.
But so did the psychologist, who we don't know where lives.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not how that sentence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't know where Peter lives. We just know that suddenly he's there in a tux.
Like, it's kind of a big deal for everybody to go to this house just to wear the tux.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like the tuxes were all there and they changed there because they all walked in wearing the tux.
That's true. That's true. Anyway, so now next day, next week or whatever, Mark and Johnny are hanging out in public together. They go to a coffee shop, which Tommy Wiseau makes us watch three groups of people ahead of them order their coffee.
Yeah.
For no reason. And they order, like, coffee and cheesecake. Another one orders, like, a donut.
And we watch, like, 10 minutes of milk pouring.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know why. And then we just see him orders coffee, and then they just sit down. And then the conversation is the part that actually matters about this scene.
Quotes.
Yeah. Maybe. So they start talking, and then they sort of seem kind of, like, fighty. Again, like, fighty. They're kind of aggressive towards each other. It seems like Johnny maybe knows kind of what's going on.
But he doesn't.
But then he doesn't. He's just like, he knows something's going on with Lisa. And then there's just this great line of, anyway, how's your sex life?
Yeah.
That Johnny says to Mark.
Amazing.
And then Mark's just like, oh, it's okay, I guess. And then the scene's done.
Yeah. We, like, burst out laughing, like, super loud. Yeah, because business isn't going too hot anyway. How's your sex life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. And so now suddenly Mark is at Lisa's and they just start having sex. Again.
I'm trying to remember what scene you're talking about, but they're just blurring
together.
Yeah, they
have sex like three times in this movie, I think. This is the second time that they have sex. It's kind of rushed compared to the other like 4 minute sex scenes. And then after they have sex, then it just suddenly cuts to once again Mark and Johnny out in public together. They're just playing in a park. They're like a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of playing football. They're just alone there, no conversation happening. And cut back again to Mark showing up at Lisa's, and they start having more sex, or they take off their shirts and stuff, and then they hear knocks at the door, so they're like, quick, put on all their clothes. Lisa puts on her shirt.
And she tells him to hurry up.
Yeah, and then she yells. She's just like, it's okay, come in.
And Before he's done putting on his shirt.
But luckily, it's not Johnny, as we assume it might have been Johnny. Like, oh no, and Lisa would just be...
it's his house.
Yeah, it is his house. Lisa would just be the biggest idiot. No, it's Lisa's friend, which I don't remember the name of. But we saw her earlier in the movie. And then Mark just leaves. Mark is done because he realizes he can't have sex there right now.
I can't have sex right now, so I don't have any purpose for being in this room.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lisa just has a conversation with a friend, and she's trying to convince her friend that she has the right to be able to cheat.
Yeah. Which this is like the part of the getting ready for the party time, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Because that time lasts for about half an hour of screen time.
Yeah. And we don't really know how much time has passed throughout this.
It seems like days.
Yeah, yeah. So after that little conversation, another cut to Mark and Johnny out in public together. They're going for a run together on a trail, and they're very playful. It's like they're like 11 years old, just hanging out.
Still think they're a couple.
Running on a trail. Kind of looks like they're a couple. And once again, cuts back. Now it's Lisa with her mom again. And her mom is trying to convince her that she needs to marry Johnny because marriage is not about love.
No, she's very adamant about that.
She said she hasn't been happy since her first marriage.
At all. Not even like romantically happy.
Yeah, because first marriage was the romantic one. But the second marriage was the one she needed, which was Lisa's dad.
I didn't even want to marry her dad. You never told me that.
Yeah, yeah. She's really, really upset about that.
She didn't seem upset that she didn't love her dad. Mm-hmm. She seemed upset that she hadn't been told.
Yeah. Okay, and now it cuts again to just outdoor shots of San Francisco. And it's a little bit of Johnny walking around. Johnny comes home. Surprise party for Johnny.
Yes, so finally.
Finally, the surprise birthday party for Johnny. And then the party's been going on for maybe 30 seconds. Lisa's like, hey, we should all go outside for some fresh air. Mm-hmm. Weird thing to do, generally.
Everybody digs it, though. They're like, let's do it.
Let's do it. But then she stops Mark. She's like, no, you don't go outside. So now everybody's outside, and she's like, hey, Mark, let's start cheating.
And she closes the door, and then they start making it.
They start making it on the couch. Then they get caught.
Surprise.
Surprise. That's like, you know, nobody's actually surprised. But they get caught by a new character that we don't know.
That we've never seen. This is the one we've been talking about.
He's one of our favorite characters, though, I would say.
Yeah, I named him Chuck.
Yeah, we don't actually know his real name. Not gonna lie. So, and he's like, this is wrong. And then that doesn't go anywhere.
You're ruining everything.
Yeah.
You're betraying Johnny, and we all love Johnny. Who are you? Yeah. Do you know Johnny? Have you met him?
Yeah, we haven't seen him. Oh, and then like, this is the other great lie that Ty Wiseau walks in. Johnny is like, you invited all my friends. Wait, what was the line he said? He was like, good idea.
He's like, that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
What else would she have done?
Yeah, exactly.
Invited your enemies? Your, like, idle companions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It didn't make much sense.
And then the big reveal, they reveal that they're expecting.
Yeah.
And then...
And then Lisa immediately...
5 seconds later, like, she goes off to the side and someone, like, asks her about the baby. And she's just like, oh, that doesn't exist. And then she elaborates that she told him that she was expecting a baby to make it interesting. And the only thing I could think was, what, the movie? Because it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, that was a really weird thing. Like, suddenly she's just, like, trying to make things more difficult for Johnny. She's like, yeah, we gotta make it interesting, you know? And then Lisa's just like, hey, let's go back inside now.
Yeah.
Now that we've been outside, we've gotten all our fresh air. Let's go get cake, because cake is more important than fresh air.
True.
Now Mark and Johnny just start fighting. Well, okay. So Mark and Lisa just start talking in the middle of the party, as you do. And then Mark hits Lisa because, you know, like, he starts being like, is it my baby? And then she's like, no, that's ridiculous. Like, why would you think that? But when, like, wait a second. So are you saying that when they cheated, they didn't even wear protection? Because, like, he's like, how do you know for sure it's not my baby? And I'm just like, God damn, Mark, you should know it's not your baby.
I mean, there's still a 0.001 chance.
I mean, they only ever had sex in the belly button by that's all true. Their scenes so far that we've seen.
But by eighth grader me knowledge, that's where the... Not eighth grader. Well, that would be way too late. 8 year old?
Yeah.
That's probably better.
That's a little too early, I think.
I don't know. Young me knowledge, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where the baby is grown. The belly. That's
the belly, yeah. So, anyway. So then Mark hits Lisa. He's like, you bitch, why are you doing these things? And then Johnny walks up.
Wait, doesn't she hit him?
Does she? I thought he hit her.
Oh.
But it's kind of inferred by the movie that she deserves it. Okay. The movie is not apologetic towards her.
No.
And then Johnny walks in and he's like, whoa, Mark, what are you doing here? And then they just start fighting. And then it's kind of like earlier in the movie when Peter was held over the edge of that rooftop, where they're just like, oh, it's cool now. I apologize.
We aren't fighting anymore. Everything was fine in 5 seconds.
And then cut to, a little bit later in the movie. Now Lisa and Mark are just dancing in the middle of like the dance floor of the party, which the party doesn't really have a dance floor. Mm-hmm. It's a very quiet party. And they just kind of start kissing each other's cheeks. And it's like, you were cheating right in the middle of like your fiance's birthday party that you planned for him.
Where you already got caught.
Where you already got caught like 5 seconds ago in movie time. So, and presumably not that long anyway.
I mean, how long could this party have been? It was already dark out.
Yeah, and then Johnny and Mark start fighting again because they just fought all of, 2 minutes ago and now they gotta fight again. And then Mark says something like she only comes to me because you can't satisfy her, which seems to be very straightforward saying she is cheating on you with me.
But it still seems like he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Because the big reveal happens later.
Yeah, yeah. So now, party's presumably over. Everybody just kind of leaves. Johnny goes up and locks himself in his room. Everyone else disappears. All the other characters we just saw that presumably care about Johnny, just gone. They aren't there to comfort him or anything. And then Lisa is just outside his door and just being like, hey, you want to come out? And then he's just like, no, dumb bitch. I hate you, dumb bitch. I don't know. He says a lot of just random cussing. He doesn't really know how humans work. So then Lisa just decides, you know, this is a perfect timing. I'm going to stand like 10 feet away from the door so Johnny can't really hear me and just call up Mark.
Yeah.
Specifically to tell him how much she loves him.
Yeah. And doesn't like Johnny anymore.
Yeah. Those are words that are spoken. Like, they're very upfront.
Very.
There's no, like, no interpreting.
Meanwhile, Johnny hears a little bit of this. Yeah. Not the full thing. And he comes back. And
yeah, yeah. Well, of course, then there's also Mark's end. Because Mark responds to the love with being like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and I want like, your body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, I want your body.
Which is the most forward he's been this entire time.
Yeah, of course. He also says, I don't like Johnny anymore, perpetuating the fact that they were like friends, like 11-year-olds are friends.
Yeah, it wasn't like, ugh, I don't, he's changed or something.
Yeah,
like, I don't like him anymore.
Yeah. So that whole thing happened. Then Johnny comes out of his room. He's like, I know you were just calling somebody. And luckily, I set up this tape recorder like 5 years ago or something at this point. So he goes to the tape, pulls out the one tape, the same tape that he put into it, just happens to only have recorded the last conversation they just made. Then he listens to that conversation.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, and then... Then, like, of course, Lisa's right there. Johnny and Lisa fight. Lisa finally says that she's leaving and she doesn't love him anymore. And that he's just, like, whiny and annoying, basically. So she's gone. She leaves. Mm-hmm. And now we have the emotional breakdown of one Johnny. He starts having flashbacks to the rest of the movie, which he goes back to some of the sex scenes that we saw earlier.
Yeah, they consist solely of pictures of Lisa.
Yeah. Which we see recycled for like a third time, certain clips from the sex scenes. We've already seen them twice.
And they're not all just sex.
Yeah, yeah.
They're mostly sex. Sex and the drunk time.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like that's the majority of their positive interaction was just the belly button sex.
Mm-hmm. Nothing from before, like the 6 years before they were together.
Yeah, the movie squeezes in like shots of Lisa's boobs.
Yeah.
There's like
everywhere.
It's like you thought that you were done seeing Lisa's boobs.
You hoped.
You've seen three scenes already where you saw Lisa's boobs.
More than.
Well, the only three
that was
revealed.
Three with Mark.
Well, no, but are any? I don't think boobs are only shown in one of Mark's scenes on the staircase. The other two, you don't see boobs.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I kept track.
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Okay. I kept track.
Okay.
I promise. So now we get the fourth showing of boobs to like get right near the end of the movie here because they needed it.
They needed it.
There's no like relevance necessarily to the boobs except for if you believe that the only thing that Johnny liked about Lisa was boobs.
Or...
which is possible.
Or boobs are art.
Boobs are art. That's true. That's not true.
That's how the Renaissance worked, right?
Maybe. Okay. So after these flashbacks, then he's just breaking stuff. He's angry. He's breaking everything in the room.
I think he might have made this entire movie just to have the excuse to throw a television out of a window.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever he throws a TV out of the window, then it also cuts to an extra little clip of like a TV landing on the ground and shattering.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be the same TV.
Yeah, it doesn't. But he needed that scene in the movie. He really wanted to film that. I'm sure that was a fun scene to film. Mm. So then this is where the movie takes a turn.
Yes.
A
very unexpected turn.
Yeah, it's... up to this point, this shocked me the first time I saw it.
Yeah, I did not see it.
He just brings out like this little treasure chest sort of thing and just pulls out the gun. With the gun that we've seen earlier in the movie that the thug was carrying.
For some reason, he kept that gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. He disarmed the thug, threw him in jail, and kept his gun.
It seems like the police officers would have wanted that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just seems strange that he would keep it. Like... presumably, this is an unregistered gun. Like, what is he planning?
Yeah. So, basically, he's just like, God forgive me, and then puts the gun in his mouth and kills himself.
Not until after he was having, like, a sex scene with her red dress.
Yeah, that's true. He picked up her red dress, started, like...
rubbing it against his crotch.
But then he was, like, doing it in pain. Like, he was clearly in agony. Over, like, putting the dress over his crotch for some reason. I don't really know what the... he was, like, humping the dress.
Like, low-key.
Low-key humping, but, like, while crying.
Yeah.
And it was, and then he picks up the gun and kills himself.
Yeah.
So that is... And then people
grieve for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, randomly, Mark and Lisa show up.
They were still there.
They're both crying, which is weird because they both said they don't care about him at all. And then
the little perv boy comes.
Yeah, little perv boy comes. Mark's like, you kill him, Lisa. Lisa, yes. It's all your fault. Little perv boy is like, just leave me here with him.
And then they do. And then they come back immediately.
Yeah, they do come back immediately. And then the movie ends with hearing police sirens, and you look over the body of Tommy Wiseau. Also, clearly breathing.
Yeah, and Lisa's also like, at least I still have you, right, lover boy? And he's like, no, none of... you.
Yeah, I'm yeah. You killed my best friend.
Even I don't though, like you anymore. And even, I didn't even like him.
Yeah,
anymore.
You didn't even like him anymore.
I like no characters.
Yeah,
the one that I like the most is probably Perv Boy, just like because Perv Boy? I feel bad for him most of the time. Because like, everybody kind of treats him like shit.
Yeah, I kind of like the mom the most.
I feel like the mom is definitely...
I mean,
the
mom's
relatable.
Really the hero. She overcame breast cancer.
Yeah, like, but she was I'm super mean to Perv Boy.
She was, but like I feel like she didn't fully understand his situation yet, you know?
And she wouldn't allow it. She wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
She was hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so I think we need to address some things here. First of all, Tommy Wiseau has some really weird worldviews.
And a really weird body.
Oh, yeah, yeah, his body in the sex scenes. Like, his face is kind of weird. He's not a very attractive man.
No, his back is very strangely colored.
Yeah, he's kind of ripped, though.
He is.
In this movie.
He's got...
like 13
nice
years
chest.
Ago, he really worked out really well. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a shot in the very first sex scene where he gets out of bed and then starts walking, and it's just like a long shot of his butt.
Not an enjoyable butt.
Yeah, we didn't need to see that butt.
Like, if it were Channing Tatum, that scene is perfectly... please.
Okay.
But? Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and we also saw some cheek during the whenever he was humping her belly button.
Bit cheeky there.
A little bit cheeky. But yeah. Oh, also speaking of butts, this is another random thing to account for. In the very first cheating scene, when Lisa was having sex with Mark on the staircase.
His pants never came off.
Well, his pants never came off, even though they were having sex on the staircase.
And we were waiting for
it. Well, I mean, that's why he should know that the baby isn't his.
Yeah.
No one ever actually had full sex in this movie I feel like that's an offensive thing to say. To say that sex needs to be like that. You know, sex doesn't need to be any specific way.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
But what he was saying is no one actually had vaginal intercourse.
Yes, yes.
It was either with belly buttons.
Yeah.
Or it was with pants on.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, so while they're cheating on the stairwell, there's a point to they need, along with zooming in on her her shin to sexualize the shin.
And boob.
And, well, yes, they do sexualize the boob. Anyway, there's a shot of, like, her arm going down, like, his Mark's back.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, like, her fingers going down into the back of his pants.
But not deeply.
Not deeply.
Not at all deeply. And then it's immediately withdrawn.
But, like, I feel like from the way that this movie seems to do sex, where it's all in the belly button, I feel like that was meant to signify that she was putting her finger in his butt.
At least the possibility.
Yeah, at least the possibility. Which, I mean, you know, that's fine if you're into that. But, like, I don't know if it was needed in this movie.
I don't know if it added anything.
I mean,
I don't know if any of these sex scenes added
anything. It made that sex scene way more interesting than all of the other ones.
It did.
Yeah.
They just started blurring
together. You're like, whoa, where are these fingers going? Don't know. Don't know where these fingers are going. What were they going near the little butt?
I just was waiting for the pants to come off because they never did. It just seemed like it was time.
I think he would have been more like too expensive.
Yeah,
He's probably like the most attractive person.
Objectively, that's true.
Yeah, of the entire movie, like much more attractive than her, much more attractive than Tanya Wiseau, of course, and much more attractive than everyone else.
Literally, no one was in anyone's league.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like. She, of course, was way out of Tommy Wiseau's league. Or I keep calling him Tommy Wiseau. It's Johnny. I should say the character name. And then Mark was way out of Lisa's league. But yeah, I guess he's probably just a too expensive actor to get naked completely.
Probably.
Okay, so I want to talk about how this movie seems to kind of hate women.
It does.
It.
I don't think it hates them outright.
Yeah,
I think
it
just really portrays the fact that Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah.
Doesn't know a thing about women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he just commonly portrays them talking about weird things that they probably wouldn't. Yeah.
But in that scene that Lisa's talking to her mom and her mom's just like, marriage is not about love.
Yeah.
Like, it's really enforcing that women need the patriarchy, basically. Women need a man who's successful to support them.
Yeah, and she never works.
Yeah, she doesn't work the entire movie.
You didn't see a single woman work.
The only...
Except the one at the cafe.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually. I don't think any of them...
Oh, and the flower shop.
Yeah.
Both very feminine-seeming jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
And
then, the woman, of course, is then also seen as being, the one who initiates all the problems, because Lisa's the villain of the movie, I would say.
Yeah, and that's supported when What's-His-Face dumps her at the end.
Yeah, when Mark just agrees. And the movie, it's like the movie agrees with Mark.
Yeah, so it doesn't ever refute it.
Yeah, it's you're not the problem, Mark. You were his best bud.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Danny falls into that, personally.
I'm not sure where Danny falls at all.
I don't know if he needed to be in this movie.
I think it would have worked without him.
Yeah. Other than being he was the only one who really loved Johnny, you know?
Yeah.
But he also really loved Lisa, and Lisa was the villain, so I don't know how to think about that.
I still don't see why he loved Lisa.
Yeah.
It didn't seem at all necessary.
Well, he also seemed, the way he talked about Lisa, it seemed like he was going through puberty, but then he's also in college.
Yeah.
So.
He was just, he never seemed to want anything very physical, except that kiss.
Yeah.
All he wanted was
to watch them have sex.
To say that she loved him. That was not physical, though. That's very passive.
I don't know. I think that's
watching?
That's watching, not physical. I think that's still he wanted some sexual stuff going on with them. I think he wanted to join in eventually.
He did jump on the bed.
He did jump on the bed right before the first sex.
But that was when they were just fighting with pillows.
Yeah.
Which, again, very strange thing for grown people to do in their bedroom.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tanya Wiseau doesn't seem to know what adults do. He just assumes when a group of men get together, they just toss around a football. Talk about how women are just terrible, am I right? Dang.
That's all I do.
Dang. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I don't know.
But as you can tell, my predictions fell a bit flat.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
I think generally, well, you did have, okay, well, in that very last scene whenever he's breaking things, we had like three or four things that fell into place that your predictions were right on.
Of reflective.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a mirror. He briefly mirror. Looked in this mirror.
Yeah, he did briefly
he look did in this mirror. He did briefly lose his sanity as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, there was also a room that they were in a lot.
Yeah. No one predicted the suicide, though, you know?
No.
No, that couldn't be predicted. It's just like, oops. Don't listen to this movie. Don't kill yourself. Pro tip.
Agreed. Seek a professional.